Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Hour number two of this beautiful Monday night with an impending storm on the way. Could winter be any cooler? Great to have you with me here tonight. In just a little while, I will be welcoming Kristen Lierley to the show. I'm so excited to have her. You probably have heard her on Mino and the Mayor. She keeps those guys in check. She's very smart, very fun. Can't wait to talk to her. But right now, our evening of girl power continues. We've got another amazing guest who is the host of her new show, and I'm just going to let her talk about it. It is my pleasure to welcome Jane Matinera. Hey, Jane.
Hi, Pete. Thank you so very much. I am really excited to be here.
Oh, it's so great to have you. I've wanted to have you on for a while now, and now the timing just worked out. You have your own show now. Tell my listeners a little bit about what you're doing during the day, and I love the title, too.
Oh, thank you so much. We had a real quick meeting. And thank you, Rebecca Sullivan, because she's the one who came up with Matinair on Air.
She's great.
And that's what we've decided to go with. I want to be very clear. My dear friend and partner and compatriot, Kristen Bry, has gotten a new opportunity. And so is moving on. And if you want to know what's going on with her, you can still follow her on all her social medias. But I just want everyone to know that this is a very amicable parting. And as a woman of my age in this profession, I am beyond grateful to have the opportunity to have my own show.
Yeah, how cool is that?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Greg Bach and I have been covering for the last 3.5 months, so we kind of got into rhythm anyway, and we're going to continue what we do. So the first hour, we tend to be very newsy and usually very Wisconsin-specific about what's going on in the state. Politically, the PFAS and all of those things that concern all of us, child care and everything else, and then have guests around those topics. And the second hour, we tend to lighten things up a little bit and do some more unusual and lighthearted things. And this coming Wednesday, Cassie is going to be coming in from an animal rehabilitation place, which is right around the corner from us.
Oh, nice.
In downtown Waukesha. And it's all, Pete, about large parrots.
Whoa.
They must have 30 parrots of all different species and all different colors. One is this indigo blue. I have never seen anything like that in my entire life. And it's very noisy and very chaotic, but they rehabilitate, they rehome if they can. And then they're also a place where some of these birds can live out their lives, because parrots live 50 years, 75
really?
Years. Oh, they have, I can go off on that, just all that. But this is the kind of stuff that we do. We do quirky things, odd things. We talk to ginseng farmers in Wisconsin. We've talked to cranberry growers. I'm setting up something with hazelnut in Wisconsin, which is a newer thing. And we're always open to suggestions too.
You know, I gotta be honest. I can't get past the parrot thing. That sounds like a chance for a serious injury in the studio. Huge birds. Does that creep you out at all?
I don't plan on touching any of them. Cassie is going to bring one in. We'll see what the weather is doing on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I don't know, how blustery it's going to be and what conditions these birds can. They're not meant for Wisconsin winters, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So whether or not she's able to bring them in, I took some sound when I stopped in there the other day, Pete, and a bunch of them talk and they say giggle, giggle, giggle. And I mean, it's just amazing. And they have signs over their very large cages. These are like 5-foot cages because they're large
wow.
birds. And of all the different words that they can say. And stuff like that fascinates me. So
that's so great. And you're still in great hands with Greg Bach there. Is it different? Like when you found out that it was your show and it's Matinair on the Air, love the title.
Thanks.
how that must have, I'm sure you were kind of sad to break up a partnership, but how were you more excited than anything just to do your own show?
Well, you know, as well as I do, in the entertainment industry, things change and people take new jobs, and
yeah,
sometimes we all get fired.
Right.
And
for sure.
And so things are always changing. And yes, I was very sad to see Kristen go because I adore her. And she is the reason I came to Civic Media. She brought me into Civic Media. I wouldn't have this opportunity were it not for her. But at the same time, she is, you want people to do what is best for them and
yeah,
to go fly, you know, go fly and see what you can do next.
Absolutely. So, Jane, I just talked to you about this a few weeks ago when I did some on-air guest hosting at another station. You were doing news there. How has that transition been? Because you're so great on the air and you're so informed, probably just because you're smart, but also from years of doing news. Was it a natural transition to what you're doing now? Do you miss news at all? Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. I am not a journalist, Pete. And even at the very beginning of my career when I was at The Mix, I was a news reader. So I was a news regurgitator is what I called it, because I have no journalistic credentials. I don't. And I have great respect for people who are actual journalists. I took on some more of that, of doing actual reporting when I was with WTMJ. And it was wonderful in many different ways because I learned skills that I didn't have before, as far as writing a story, writing a longer feature story with sound effects and background music and getting the interviews and then editing it. And so that was wonderful and wonderful to learn. But at my heart, I am not a journalist, only because I am too opinionated. And
it's hard to sit on those opinions sometimes, huh?
It was very challenging,
yeah,
especially during certain years. And I loved the opportunity. And as I said, I learned a lot, but I feel much better where I am and not trying to be something that I really don't feel that I'm qualified for.
Yeah. Did you pretty much have to go into broadcasting with a voice like you have, Jane?
No, Pete, it was just a matter of, I always wanted to be an entertainer from a very young childhood, and I was a theater major.
Oh,
and
no
I
kidding.
Got into college. Yeah, I got into college, and I remember I was a mortician. So he was a very, very practical man.
What, you and cut out there for a second. Your husband was a mortician?
No, my father was a mortician.
Oh, your father was, okay. Oh, wow.
So
okay.
He was a very practical man. And I can remember going down to his office on the first floor, which is where the chapels were, because we lived upstairs. And I said, Dad, I want to go to college because I want to be an actress. And my father was not a man of many words. And he just said, well, Jane, if that's what you want to do, you better have a backup plan. And when I got to school, I guess I found the theater program intimidating, because now I was a very small fish in a very large pond. And I also took, I doubled in communications, and I had done a lot of recording already. I used to read in church, which people who know me now would really laugh about. but it was all public. I did a lot of early public speaking. And so radio was, to me, theater of the mind.
Yeah,
and it was even better because no one could see you, and therefore you can be anything to
anybody.
Wow,
that's really interesting. And it looks like if this is your backup plan, it's worked out okay for you. My guest is Jane Matinere, the host of Matinere On Air or On The Air, Jane?
Matinere On Air.
Matinere On Air. That is by easily the catchiest show name I've heard in a long time. So that's how you got your start in news. And you just, had you done a talk show before this, Jane, before coming to Civic Media?
Well, when I was at WTMJ, I worked with Gene Miller in the morning. And so that was a news slash,
oh yeah, sure,
you know, a different kind of morning show where we did more longer form interviews and things like that.
Yeah.
So, and I certainly heard a lot of the format. But that's why I've always preferred to, Pete, the majority of my career was actually spent in music radio, and music radio is far different just as far as how much time you have.
Yeah.
And so I got really good at making my point and cracking a joke in 90 seconds or less. So
nice.
Going into a format like talk radio and news talk is challenging because I am not naturally that verbose. And so I really like to have someone there to talk with.
Yeah. Wow.
That's
great
why
answer.
I liked having Kristen. I love having Greg. I like having Calvin. For me, it's just always easier to have a conversation instead of just continually listening to myself talk.
Since I've done this show, Jane, I've been talking to myself for 5 weeks and I'm about to go insane. So I totally get what you're saying. So it's lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you.
So I really wish you luck with the show. It's great. I've been on it. I've heard it. It's a great show. If you guys should definitely tune in and hear Jane during the day. And what time is it on, Jane?
We are on from 10 a.m. to noon.
Oh, 10 to noon. That's right. Okay.
10 to noon across the Civic Media Radio Network.
So what we do on this show is talk about entertainment. We have a few laughs at night. We chill out. We've got about 1 minute left, Jane. Tell me what you're watching. What does Jane Matinere do when she goes home and news and your talk show is behind you? What do you watch?
I love the Gilded Age because I'm a sucker for period costumes, and I just like the costumes because I think they're so remarkable. I tend to look for fluffier things because I read so much news. I don't want to be scared. I don't want to be horrified, and I don't necessarily want to be thrilled. I would like to laugh and relax. And although Murders in the Building was also very good.
That's kind of lighter though. Yeah.
Yeah. That was on the lighter side.
Have you seen a show called Three is Company?
Three
is Company, the John Ritter show. It was a joke. My jokes are not landing tonight, Jane.
I know that show, Pete. I know the show well.
I figured you do. Hey, thanks so much for your time tonight, Jane. Best of luck with the show. And let's do this again soon. It was fun.
Absolutely. Can't wait to have you on Matinere on Air. Thanks a lot, Pete.
All right. See you later. That's Jane Matinere, the host of Matinere on Air on Civic Media here from 10 to noon every day. She's flying solo. Well, Greg Bach is with her. She's in good hands. But Jane is a consummate pro with maybe the coolest voice I've ever heard. So it's great to have her. And coming up in just a few minutes, and I should have asked Jane for advice on Kristen Lierley. I'm intimidated. I'm scared of Kristen. She frightens me. She's very smart. And we'll talk to her in just a few minutes. This is Pete Schwabe, and you're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Nightlight. My thanks to Jane Matinere. Check her out. Check her show out. 10 to 12 every day. Matinere on Air. Was I right? Conrad, does she have the greatest voice?
Yeah, definitely.
Ever. Not just in radio. Ever, I think. And that is another voice you hear. Now I'm very excited. Oh my, who sent that? All right, now I'm very excited. Joining me now in the studio, I'm always excited when I have guests in the studio, is Dr. Civic Media Personality, all-around good citizen, Kristen Lierley. Kristen, welcome.
Thanks, Pete.
Nightlight. You're welcome. We've been talking about this. I'm glad we finally figured it out.
Me too. It's so great to be here with you in person.
Agreed. I love being with me. It's nice that you don't have to deliver babies for once, and you can actually, you're a pretty busy girl.
I love delivering babies,
yeah,
though.
I know you do. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Because a day at the hospital for me is somebody's momentous day in
Isn't
their
that
lives.
Something? That's so great that you recognize. Well, not that you wouldn't recognize it, but just that, because I'm sure it's like anything. You do it over and over. And it's like, oh, God, I got to go give birth to another baby. And can I just tell you, this is very stereotypical.
Uh-oh. Are you pulling out your wallet to show me pictures of your kids?
I'm just show you. Well, I'd like to show you my debit card. Hold on. So when my son was born, this is what's stereotypical. The doctor was golfing. Mm. And there was another woman also in labor. Mm-hmm. So he gets back. He's running behind. He's got two women having a baby. He's back and forth. I'm right there. I was a comedian at the time. What am I going to do? You know? we don't come in very handy when it comes to delivering babies.
You do, actually. But well, we'll get to that
jokes.
Later.
Yeah. That's right. We talked about that, too. So anyway, I'm very impressed. It's very cool that you want to spend part of your night with me here on Nightlight. So thank you for being here.
Of course. And can we just, as long as we're talking about delivering babies,
yeah, sure.
Where you come in handy is, you know, usually when somebody is laboring and they have to push.
Yeah.
But here's the trick.
Okay.
If they've got a good epidural, they've got good pain control.
Yeah.
You tell a good joke and make them laugh, and the baby can actually come out with laughter. I'm not kidding.
So wait, you mean the baby is born to someone laughing?
Yes, the mother is laughing, and that creates that pressure that is kind of like a push. And sure enough, I have delivered babies because the mother was laughing. See, you could have taken a whole different tack in your life.
I just remember shouting.
You could have been like some sort of a comedian doula.
You know what? I still have midwife on my radar, so I'm not ruling that out. I'm just saying. That's hilarious. I never heard of that before.
True story.
So both my kids have really good senses of humor, so I wonder.
That could be
your
role in the future if you're ever a grandfather. It could be your role to be in the room, probably behind a curtain.
It's probably because I made them watch Caddyshack over and over when they were kids. I don't know. So we have to check in because today is this is National Bubble Bath Day.
Oh.
Conrad, as I mentioned earlier, is producing the show from his bubble bath on the other side of the glass. How you doing over there, Conrad? Conrad, oh dear God. We have a doctor. Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Just having a good time over here.
Pepto-Bismol.
He was just rinsing his hair. Okay. Glad you're back. We do have a doctor in the house.
Okay. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I am a gynecologist.
All right. And then this is, I got to read this over before because I have a gynecologist here. I got to make sure the jokes are proper. OBGYNs are the best docs. This is from the 630. This is Andrew. All three that delivered my kids are amazing human beings. That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Andrew, from the 630. Here I am thinking automatically it's going to be something funny, and it was a very sweet. So you're a civic media personality, Kristen. You deliver babies. You're very active in your community. What's your favorite hat to wear?
All of it.
Yeah.
Because it all fits together. You know, when you take care of women and babies, it's never easy because politics are all up in our healthcare. I mean, no matter what you do, anybody goes to the doctor and you may not be able to afford a prescription or your copay might be too high or you don't have access to get the services that you need in your community. It's complicated.
Yeah.
Our healthcare system is so broken. And I can't sit in an exam room and look my patient in the eye knowing that there is a barrier out there that is arbitrary that we could fix.
Wow.
And it takes somebody like me, somebody from the medical field, to be able to talk to legislators to help them understand what the problem is so that they can make decisions in the best interest of our patients, of ourselves.
That's really impressive. So what I'm hearing is free medical care. I have a bruise on my elbow. That's why I called you here tonight. No.
Do you want me to kiss it?
How much does that cost? Do I need a copay? Is that covered under my HMO?
The debit card, remember, from earlier?
You got one right on. You just slide it right through there. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Did you know it was David Bowie's birthday today?
I did.
How cool is that, huh?
Yeah, and David Elvis? Jones. That was his original name.
This is his real name. That's right. Mm-hmm. So you're a fan?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So we can't move on because I think I have more healthcare questions for you. I told you that. Okay, so here's where my comedic mind goes to. When my wife gave birth to our son, there were five doctors in that, they were all men that were OBGYNs. And I said, couldn't you find a woman? Like, she goes, no, I tried. Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't want to go to a guy, but that was all that was available to us. Or maybe he was cute. I don't know. I'm not here to judge. But, and then I thought, man, all these guys are going into that field. You hardly ever see a female urologist. So what's the deal? I thought maybe men were creepier, but you had a reason for this.
We have female urologists here in Green Bay.
Do we?
We certainly do. Okay. Dr. Jennifer Burns is here. Yes, we've got lots and lots of women in OBGYN right now. Actually, we can't get enough men to go into OBGYN right now.
Huh.
Because it's really very saturated with women and we need more balance. So we actively recruit men because it's a great field. We get to be with patients in the clinic. We get to do surgery. We do hysterectomies. I mean, we do, Yeah, you can be a cancer surgeon.
Is it like a pendulum, like kind of how it goes, or?
Well, I think that early on, you know, your kids are in their 20s.
Yeah.
Early on, a lot of those docs were men because women weren't admitted to medical school.
That's interesting.
In the numbers that they're admitted. Now, my class was the class of 2003, the starting class of 2003 in Madison. We were the first class that was more women than men.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And that was right around the time, too, that they changed the name of the school from the School of Medicine to the School of Medicine and Public Health. So they really started to embrace this broader sense of what does health mean and what is truly health care.
Right.
And the public health component, you just can't discount that. You can't have personal health unless you have clean water and sewage and healthy food to eat.
Absolutely. And we'll talk more about that because I know you're very into health and this is a new year.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that I think we should talk about New Year's resolutions. I'd like to hear yours and how you get people to, because everybody goes crazy. It's like, I'm going to get up at 4 a.m. and eat raw eggs like Rocky did. No, you're not. Everyone makes the resolution like, I'm going to do something I've never done before at 42 years old.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to happen. So maybe you could have some tips for people about how they can kind of ease into something. You lower the bar at first.
Uh-huh. I have
maybe
lots
just
of ideas.
Make your bed in the morning and see where that happens. See where it
make
goes
your bed in the morning? You're just going to crawl right back into it later.
Oh, now you're my kind of doctor. Okay. So Kristen Lierley is spending the rest of the show with us. She's great. She's here till the end of the show. And you can still text in. What is the best way to spend a snow day? 920-264-0606 or text us on the app. It's Pete Schwabe. Kristen Lierley is here on Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's not easy to produce a show from a bubble bath, folks, but I don't know how he's doing it, but Conrad is making it happen tonight. It is National Bubble Bath Day. What was that music?
That was Dr. Feelgood.
Okay, where did that come from?
That's from I Know the Mayor.
Did you go rogue? Oh, okay.
We need a little splish splash. I was taking a bath is what you needed.
I should have thought of that. I'm not with it. You know why? Because it's dry January. Kristen Lierley is with me here. She's a civic media personality and an OBGYN and very active in the community, knows a ton of stuff about health. And some of the stuff she knows, I can't really repeat on the air, but no, seriously.
But we do talk about it on Thursdays at 11 o'clock on James'
show. Plug that
show.
Yeah. Plug that if you would, because
public,
I want
public cervix announcement,
but men can text in too their questions or.
Oh yeah. Okay. We want everybody to text in with questions. That is your opportunity to text in with whatever question you have, because I will answer it.
You pull no punches, it sounds like.
And if I don't know the answer, I'll come back the next week and we'll talk about it. We talked about broken penises in the past. We talk about vaginal bleeding, abortion, like you name it. We talk about it in medical terms.
And why shouldn't you? Those are things, right? I mean, those are, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're really having a hard time getting over the broken penis.
I'm just trying to figure out what lane to pick here. So having said that, what Kristen just said, if you guys or girls, if you have a question regarding health, she will answer it. She just said she's not going to pull any punches. And you said, I was surprised you had four boys, you said.
Uh-huh.
And I said, how'd you end up with four boys? Just kind of making conversation. You said, I have a theory. And I said, save that for the air. So tell me, what is your theory? And I assume I know how you got five boys, but you seem to have a more detailed argument. So what is it?
I have four sons. And I actually had a miscarriage that was late. So we had it tested. And that also was a male offspring.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so basic biology tells us that it is the male that determines the sex of the fetus, of the child.
Right.
So you would think that it was my husband. But my theory is that there is a hostile uterus where the uterus does not allow another female embryo to survive because that would be competition for me. So it's not a real thing, but I believe that that could be a thing. And I think that actually my ex-husband probably came up with that theory.
Was he happy to have four boys?
Oh my gosh, four boys are the best. Yeah. Except you can't put anything breakable out until they're at least in their mid-20s.
Okay. Wow.
There's a lot of wrestling.
Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm. Even when they're big.
So that's interesting. What did you call it? What was the?
The hostile uterus theory.
The hostile uterus. We're not.
That's not real.
To those of you listening, that's not a TV show because mostly we talk about show business.
Right.
And
that could be a great name
could
for
be
like
a show.
A band
the hostile. Oh, yes.
Let's do that, Pete.
Conrad, take a memo.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
I don't know. I like saying take a memo to Conrad. Like that's what he's there for.
As
it has nothing to do with
pen and paper in the tub with him.
Exactly. And I'm just glad he's still here. Every night I look up and I feel like he's going to be gone and just take a powder one night and just say, you know what? I'm done with the silliness and show business. All right. I'm actually going to go to my list here because I had questions for you. So
let's go.
You're not, first of all, there's no danger you're going to be called away to deliver a baby during the show, correct?
Not at this moment, no.
Not at this moment. Okay,
no. Good.
Because... That, is it too late for me to be a midwife?
No.
No. Okay. All right. Do they offer any kind of a signing bonus or correspondence?
Yes.
Okay. Conrad, any interest?
If you do
midwifery?
It, I'll do it as well. We'll do it together.
I'll do it.
Well, then we're just in competition.
We'll do it together. All right.
I will crush you, my friend. I'm getting all the business.
This is a chapter or an episode in the hostile uterus.
Series. Yes. Right here. The pilot episode.
Two guys become a midwife.
Right. They go into business together. See, I think that's creepy. I know you probably don't have that.
There aren't a lot of male OB nurses, and I've never met a male midwife.
Yeah.
You know, traditionally, the science of delivering babies and of taking care of pregnant people was always handled by women, like for centuries and centuries.
Yeah.
So that kind of plays into how OBGYN as a medical field is undervalued in the greater house of medicine because really it's taking care of women.
Right.
And it's women taking care of women. And we know that, you know, women make less money in society.
Right.
Women are more likely to not be able to have access to the healthcare that they need. Women's health in general, maternal mortality, women dying related to their pregnancy. The numbers are going up in the United
How
States.
Is
They're
that
going
even
down
a thing?
Wow. In every other
Isn't that
civilized
crazy?
Country. It's unbelievable. And it's getting worse, Pete.
So I don't have any answers for you, sadly. I don't know. Yeah, I don't understand that either. But here's a profession. Okay, we joke about the midwife and a man becoming a midwife.
Yeah.
Here's a profession I didn't know existed. Mm. And this is after I had my son. Lactation consultant.
That's usually a
That's
nurse
a thing. Yeah.
who has had specialty training in breastfeeding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that existed. I was sitting in the room. She came in and said who she was. And I was like, wait a minute, what's happening here?
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, kind of helped herself to the baby and my wife who was sitting there trying to breastfeed. And she said, may I? And I was like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I didn't know what. I'm like,
And
you
then
know,
she did what she did. And yeah, you were still surprised.
Touching my wife. I'm like, you know, and I'm here, I'm a comedian. I'm like, should I dim the lights and put some music on? You want me to hold the baby? What's going on here? So I thought, well, maybe that's what I'll do. I'll go back to school and be a lactation consultant. Now, how creepy would that be?
That would be really creepy.
Finally.
Weird and creepy.
Because I said male OBGYNs, you're like, no, that's because of this. And midwives, but that's creepy.
I think that's...
We're on the same page there, right?
Well, I mean, you could be a male nurse, which in which case we would just call you a nurse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not... Okay. That's fine. That's a good job. I know lots of guys
It's
that
a great
nurses.
Job.
Not a lot,
oh my
but
gosh.
I know a few.
And we need nurses.
Yeah.
We need nurses so badly.
Really?
50% of nurses in this country right now are thinking about leaving the field. Yeah. COVID took a giant dent out of our nursing
Oh, no kidding.
Supply. Yes, we have not nearly enough nurses, especially in rural parts of the country.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And they make very good money, too, don't they? I mean, that's a very good profession to be in.
Yes.
As I understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about health. I'm trying to tie this a little back into show business. Influencers on YouTube.
Yes.
Are yoga teachers. A lot of them are yoga teachers.
Uh-huh.
And I'm late to the party with yoga. I love it. And I don't know why I didn't start 20 years ago. Explain to me, and the listeners why everyone should be doing yoga.
Because it's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. That's the medical explanation.
You know, yoga is great. It moves your body.
Yeah.
It helps you stretch. It helps you be mindful. It's for your mind and your body, truly. Yeah. It's not just like, you know, you go to the gym and you're lifting weights, you're pumping iron.
Right.
And you do it to the extent that you can do it. So if you have a really hard time, you know, touching your toes, then you practice your down dog however you can. You can sit in a chair and you can do your cat cow, which I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
Cat cow.
I've done that. Uh-huh. I know that move.
Yeah. There are lots of things that you can do. And the more you practice, the more you learn, the better you get at it. And pretty soon, if you're faithful to it, you find that you miss it. Your body craves it.
And that's what happened to me over the holidays. I was telling you, like, I haven't done it in a couple of weeks and I feel really crummy. But what I still don't understand, like, what's the difference? I kind of know now, but between yoga and just stretching.
Well, yoga has a tempo. There are certain moves that you do repetitively. So that's another advantage to practicing regularly. And I am not a yoga expert, but I have been practicing yoga for a long time.
Right.
So there are moves that you then sequence together. And so when your instructor is calling out the next move, you just kind of know what to go to because you're familiar with the position that your body should be in.
And why down dog? What is that? I don't know. That's the yoga move. Everybody knows. I do it. And I'm like, what am I? And I say it in that position. I'm like, what exactly is this doing? Honestly. I mean, you kind of stretch out your calves a little bit, but I'm like, this is I can't say the word, but this is the stuff in yoga is the down dog. Everybody, what is that? Is it just a get the blood to rush to your head or?
That's part of it. The inversion. Okay. So being upside down is part of it. I think it's just a funny name. So people think that that's funny.
A lot of the names don't make sense to me, but I just kind of go with it because I like the girl that does it on YouTube. Okay. And so the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, help us through. I'm talking with Kristen Lyerly, by the way. She's a civic media personality. You're on a lot of shows.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pat Kreitler's like show in the morning and Mino and the Mayor once a week or so. And then, of course, you know, Matt and Air on Air.
Matt and Air on Air. And now a welcome addition to Nightlight. And we will bring this back to TV. I want to know what you're watching. However,
okay,
this is dry January, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So this is like people that want to give up alcohol for a month. And Wisconsin recently, it was announced, had 8 of the top 13 most alcoholic cities were in Wisconsin.
Baby, we're sitting in number one.
I know.
Yes.
I know. I don't know if I'm impressed that you know that or... Do you know that because you're part of the problem?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I grew up here in Kaukauna, so just south of here. But my father suffered from alcoholism, and he actually died of alcoholism when I was a young girl. So alcohol is a huge part of the culture in this part of the country. And for me, as a kid who struggled with my dad, my relationship with my dad, and then lost him... And then, you know, watched my friends in high school going and, you know, having case parties in the field and, you know, drinking in college. And I didn't drink all throughout high school. I drank when I was in college. I made my mistakes, you know, but I've always had this very thoughtful approach to alcohol consumption just because it is so pervasive where we live and it's affected my life so profoundly.
Now, you've been sipping whiskey since we've been on the air. So I'm not sure
to
make of that.
No. I had plenty yesterday at Lambeau, and apparently a lot of people did. My partner is a police officer here in
Green
Bay.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I bet. He's a great guy.
Greg, yeah. And he worked the game yesterday. His comment afterwards was like, there were a lot of really, really drunk people.
Oh
like
gosh.
More, many more than they're used to, than
so,
he is used
so
to.
So what do you, dry January, have you ever done it?
I'm not interested.
Do you think you could?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I work in Minnesota. When I work, I'm gone for 2 weeks at a time, and I don't drink at all when I'm there, and I don't miss it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just such a piece of the social, you know, so much of the social stuff that we do here. And what I've learned about myself is that when I restrict myself for kind of arbitrary reasons, then I get obsessed with it.
Okay.
So whether it's food or alcohol or whatever, if I'm just like putting that barrier down instead of being common, approaching it with a common sense approach, it that makes it harder for me.
Gotcha. Interesting.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah.
And like probably in the 70s, an OBGYN would be delivering a baby with a cigarette in one hand and a cocktail in the other, right?
I mean, old fashioned.
Just the way you want to come into the world.
That's right.
Laugh or, you know. All right. So I wanted to ask you that. What else do I have for you? So what do you watch? What, when you're done delivering a full day of delivering babies, let's say you've delivered like the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
Six babies in one day. What's your record, by the way?
I think it's five.
Five babies in a day. Wow.
It was when I was in residency training, though, which was down in Madison, and we had a very busy hospital.
Gotcha.
So it's not like that in most hospitals.
I don't know that I could do that just because, well, A, I'm not smart enough, but B, I would be too worried. I would hate seeing something go wrong. That
would
be so.
Things go wrong all the time.
No, I know they do, but I mean, I'm talking about like really wrong. Like
that happens all the time, yeah. Pete. We just don't talk about it. You know, we approach pregnancy and delivery like it's always this joyful thing, and it often is.
Yeah.
But pregnancy can be really hard, and for most people, they have dips and struggles, and it's not easy. Wow. It's physically not easy. So, I mean, let's be realistic about pregnancy and delivery. Bad things happen. When I'm seeing people in clinic, I can walk into a room and take care of someone who is 27 weeks pregnant and she is so happy and joyful. And in the next room, somebody is suffering from a miscarriage.
Oh, man. See, I'm one of the, yeah, I don't know. That would be tough.
Yeah.
And it's stressful. I'm one of the few men that's had an epidural.
No, I don't think so. Men have epidurals all the time.
Come on.
Yeah.
That was gold that I just dropped there. Now you're
Sorry.
Telling me my joke. Men have epidurals? I had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
if you're having surgery below the waist, that's a great way to provide you with. I mean,
right.
Sorry, not for babies. But do you really want to go down that road, Pete?
I've had about enough of your nonsense for one segment. All right. Kristen Lierley is here. She's going to help me close the show. We're going to find out what she's watching. She's going to give recommendations. I can only guess your favorite movie is She's Having a Baby. We'll ask her when we come back from the break. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back.
We're about to hear Pete's path to getting back to bikini season.
Listen, I'm not going to waste time with a wax right now because I just have to redo it before the summer comes.
It'll come back later, though, so it'll be easier.
right, true. I assume. I don't know what I can say on the air. That's my problem. I'm kind of new to radio. I was a comedian, and all bets were off. You could say anything, and now I'm just like, just don't get fired, whatever you do.
We talk about resolutions?
Yeah, let's talk about resolution. But I got some texts here. The 630, this is Andrew. Once you've had two kids of the same sex, the third is like 70 to 80% to be the same sex. Those damn hostile uteri. Wow, uterus plus
it,
Illuminati.
Yes.
And he has a question for you. Question for Dr. Lierley. How much is hospital life like the show Scrubs, ER, and Grey's Anatomy? See, this is what I love about my listeners. They bring it back to show business.
Uh-huh.
So
where you feel comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Now we're in my wheelhouse. So yeah. Is that a thing?
Yeah, I mean there are components, but you know, not the drama's not there. I never watched Scrubs because that was when I was in residency and I had four kids and there was just no time for TV.
Yeah, sure.
But a lot of my colleagues did and they loved it.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that brings you to those shows is the stuff that really doesn't happen.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, if you really wanted to watch like a real life show, there's plenty of drama, but it's not entertaining. It's just, it's sad and it's hard. And
what drove me crazy when ER first came out and like two doctors like breaking up with each other over a guy with his chest cut open. It's like, come on.
I loved that show.
I mean,
that was before I was a doctor.
It was an award winning show, but yeah. And it's like when NCIS, what's the one with the Vegas show where they crime scene investigators, whatever.
CSI.
Yeah.
That was good.
And
that was how you did that with the letters.
I did like a thing. Yeah. And they would ask each other questions to get the information to the viewer. It's like, well, what are you doing there, doctor? It's like, I think you would know.
Yeah.
You're assisting. You're not, what do you get? This is a medical lesson while you're doing a quintuple bypass. So what do you watch?
So I honestly don't watch a lot of television.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of...
Like, oh, you're one of those.
No. So when I'm... Often I will flip like cable news networks. So I'll watch, you know, CNN, MSNBC, Fox. Like I like to flip between them and see all the different stuff that they're covering because I like variety. But I just am in the middle of the morning show Apple TV. I'm really enjoying that.
I've heard
that.
Very good things about that.
But you know what I really love?
Tell me.
This is a passion. I am kind of a snob when it comes to movies, and I love Oscar season because I know that those movies are quality and wonderful, and I just cannot wait. I have not yet seen Oppenheimer, and after Golden Globes last night with all of the wins. So that's my snow day plan. See, I got a two for one on your questions.
That is excellent. Yeah, yes. That's a great answer. And I just started Anatomy of a Fall, which is on everybody's Oscar lists, last night. And I have to say, a little slow. Uh-huh. Not bad. But I think sometimes I feel like there are tons of great foreign films. Mm-hmm. This one, I just feel like I've been told I should like it. And it's not that I dislike it. It's okay. And I'm an hour in to a 2.5-hour movie. So
wait, you can't just stop in the middle of the movie, though.
I have to.
Like, and with this kind of a movie, you have to commit to it, Pete.
You know what? Don't boss me, Kristen, because it really, I don't like your attitude. No, obviously that's the way to watch a movie. But at this point, I have to catch up and try to see all of them before Oscar season. Uh-huh. So
there's an app. You know. There's actually an Oscar app where they put all the movies on there, and you can check them off as you. I love that.
Yeah.
Yes. But you know what else I've watched recently?
What?
Michael J. Fox did a documentary on his life. It's called Still.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah. Is it good?
It's really good. Huh. It's really quality. His interview is so personal and beautiful.
Yeah.
And not. They don't sugarcoat anything. I mean, he talks about how he is in pain. He talks about how difficult it is, all the falls that he's had because his Parkinson's has progressed so much. It's just a real life glimpse into his past and where he's at right now and how he just keeps pushing forward.
Yeah, he's an amazing story. And I remember when I was watching one of the late night shows and he's a kid from Canada.
Yeah.
And most of the people that go to LA, they've got rich parents. And they, you know, here's your apartment. And there's no real struggling actors. They're struggling. But I love when I hear an old school story where according to him, he didn't have much. He was taking his calls from his agent and casting directors at a payphone outside like a Colonel's Chicken or something like that. And that's how he found out he got Family Ties.
Wow.
It was such a great story. And I have to Google it, but it was a really fun, Conrad, take a memo.
Another one?
Sorry to wake you.
Another one.
Two memos.
Hey, I'm still in the bubble bath, okay? Give me a break.
Well, that water is getting cold.
Yeah, you're gonna be a prune, buddy, by the time you get out of there. Get out of there before snowpocalypse tomorrow. You won't be running home in a towel from WGBW. So I'm talking with Kristen Lierley. We got a couple minutes left here. So, okay, so the medical dramas, you like them less?
I like them less because you know too much. You know, like
it's the same way with my dad and my brother with law shows. They're like, you know, and
it's not entertaining because I actually find my job to be very entertaining.
I bet. Never a dull moment.
It is. Never a dull moment.
Yeah. That's so cool. And you know what? You know what, Conrad? It's David Bowie's birthday.
Yep.
I'm sitting across from an actual hero who gives birth on a daily basis.
Wait,
to human beings. Yes.
I did give birth, but not on a daily basis.
Oh, not a daily basis. Not every day.
Not every day.
Okay.
But yeah. I assist people who are giving birth.
Oh.
See what you did there?
You give the gift of childbirth, so to speak.
There are some major questions we are going to have to, hurdles that we are going to have to overcome before you start midwifery school, Pete.
Well, listen, I got a long way to go, but I'm a quick learner. I'm a quick study. I will say, why don't you play us out with some David Bowie? We can let it build a little and reach a crescendo at the end of the show because we have a bona fide hero here. She gives birth every day, sometimes to twins. It's... So,
changes.
Oh, we got another. Do you sing when you give birth?
All the time. I sing all the time. You're going to have the Doctors and Recital folks in.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I'm a Doctors and Recital performer.
You are?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Kim is her name. I got to get back to her.
Yeah. Kim is my bestie.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, forget it.
This is crazy. A team.
All right. Let's hear some heroes, Conrad. Here's another text. Pete, the music that interrupted Kristen Wiig and Will Ferrell's bit on the Golden Globes last night was created by Green Bay native Kevin MacLeod.
That's awesome.
Just a bit of cool trivia.
Oh, that's let's from hear Craig it for
Anthony
Kevin.
Knitt. Yeah, that's very cool. I love when people share stuff like that. It's so awesome.
Yeah.
So this has been really fun. Kristen Lyerly has joined me. I'd like to thank Jane Matinere and Brittany Merlot. You have to come back sometime.
Yeah.
Because you are a real hero. And those of you listening, you might not think of yourself as a hero, but I guarantee you've done something heroic in your life. So enjoy this song. Have a great night. Good night, Wisconsin.